Good morning. Good to see all of you here. We appreciate so much your presence, and I know that there are a lot of folks here that are family because you've driven a distance to be with your mother today, and we're thankful especially for your presence as well. This is a day that our society anyways has set aside to honor our mothers, and for years and years I would preach Mother's Day sermons and give very little thought to some things, but one of the things that someone brought to my attention a few years ago was the fact that, Mother's Day isn't a fun day or an enjoyable day for some folks. And I never looked at it from that perspective. Not everybody has the good and pleasant memories that many of us have, and some are still very much stinging over the loss, maybe, of a recent mother. And so I don't want to make things any more difficult than need be, but I do want to say that we appreciate those ladies who are here who have raised children and raised them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We're not here today to honor our mothers. We do honor our mothers on this day, but that's not the purpose of being here. Our purpose of being here is to honor God and to give thanks to Him for His Son, Jesus Christ. And what I thought we would do this morning is to take a little bit of time and look at a mother, well, the mother of Jesus. And there are some lessons, whether you're a, and this is the broad application of this, whether you're a mother or a father or a single person, it doesn't matter. The things that we can learn from Mary are things that should apply to all of us and would challenge every one of us to be like her. This woman was an amazing woman when you stop and think of it. Galatians 4:4 says that in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, into this world and to enact this scheme of redemption. It was just the right time, and everything was hand-selected by God. He, in eternity, looked down and had the whole thing planned out, and He executes it to perfection. But think of what that means. That means that this woman, Mary, was hand-selected by God. Of all the women who ever lived on the face of the earth, she was the one that God said, she's the one. She will be the mother of my son that I'm going to bring into this world. She will be the one who holds Jesus on her lap, who teaches him the scriptures, who instills values and kindness and all of those qualities that we ought to possess. I want her to do this. And so she was a pretty special woman. Obviously had some characteristics that made her stand out from other people. And I'd like to draw four lessons from this morning that challenge us as we look at her life and some things that we can all benefit from. Now, I will say this before we get into those four points. Most of what we hear about Mary is not true. Most of the time when we're talking about Mary, we're answering some false teaching that has been created about her or surrounding her. There are a number of things, like the Immaculate Conception. A lot of people will hear that and think, well, that has reference to the virgin birth of Jesus. No, it has reference to the birth of Mary. There are those who believe in the doctrine that we're born in sin. And so what are we going to do with Jesus being born? Well, we're going to have an immaculate conception. When Mary was born, she didn't inherit sin. And so when Jesus was born, she had none to pass on to him. That's called the Immaculate Conception. You can't read about that in the Bible, but it's taught about Mary. And then there's the perpetual virginity of Mary. There are those who say that Mary never did engage in sexual relations. And I don't know exactly why that has started or why it, maybe it has something to do with just the thought or the notion in some that the sexual relationship, even within marriage, is somehow less holy than celibacy. But that's not the way the Bible presents it at all. In fact, the Bible doesn't teach that. Again, you won't read that in your scriptures about Mary, but that doesn't stop some from saying it. Some say that Mary lived a sinless life. She never, ever sinned. Well, again, that's not taught in the scriptures. In fact, the scriptures and Mary herself says that she was a sinner and that she needed a Savior just like everybody else. There's the doctrine of the Assumption of Mary, that Mary didn't die. She just was taken up into heaven. And, again, if you look in the scripture to find that, you won't find that teaching either. And then there are some who are actually arguing today that Mary is our co-redemptrix, that she's co-redeemer alongside of her son Jesus, and that she can redeem us, and that we can not only pray to the Lord, but we can pray to her and she can help. All of these things are things that you hear, but there's no scripture. So what I'd like for us to do, though, is look at what the scriptures say, and let's see what it says about Jesus and about Mary. Turn in your Bible to John chapter 2 to begin with. John chapter 2, and let's begin in verse 5. In John chapter 2, we read about this wedding feast. We sometimes say it's the first miracle of Jesus. I think that might be an overstatement. I know what the text says. It was the first miracle of Jesus in Cana of Galilee. But I would suspect that Jesus has done some other things. Else, why would Mary have come to him for a solution? But here's what is taking place. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." And his mother said, and listen, his mother said to his servants or to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." What great advice from the mother of Jesus. Whatever he says to you, do it. Apparently, I don't think that Mary was thinking, okay, well, they've run out of wine, so here's what we'll do. Jesus, could you run to the store real quick for us? I don't think he was asking her or she was asking him to run to the marketplace and to bring back some something to drink. I think she knew, and that's what leads me to believe that probably he had done other miraculous things. When they ran short, she comes to him and says, "We need help. Fix it." And she told those servants, "Whatever he says, do it." What great advice. Listen, if as a mother or anybody listen to the advice of Mary, could we not learn and benefit from that advice? Whatever Jesus says, do it. He's the Son of God. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus said, "Well, listen, why do you call me Lord and do not the things that I tell you?" He said in John chapter 14 and verse 15, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Wouldn't it be good practice to not argue back? And if Jesus says something, I just do it. Whatever he says, do it. Those are words from the mother of Jesus, and I think they're wise words, worthy of imitation. Do whatever he tells you to do. Look at another point in Luke chapter 1. If you have your Bible, flip over to Luke. Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. Here's a lesson we can learn from the mother of Jesus. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now, the context of that passage is that an angel has just come and said, "Mary, guess what? You're going to have a child. And he's the Son of God." And she, You know, all of that is explained to her. And instead of fighting it, instead of saying, I don't want this. What do you mean I'm going to have a child? I'm not even married yet. How am I going to deal with this? How am I going to talk to people? How am I going to explain this? It almost did ruin her relationship with Joseph. Joseph was minded to put her away privately. He thought she had cheated on him. But an angel came to Joseph and said, no, what has been conceived was conceived by the Lord. She has been faithful. Don't put her away. But, you know, there was that risk. At least, you know, she could have thought and she could have argued with, I'm not the one. You know, like Moses, when God said, Moses, I need you to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. Moses began to make excuses why it wouldn't, not me, I'm not the one. How about my brother Aaron? He tried to just throw it off on someone else. You don't see Mary saying, well, what about, you know, Elizabeth or somebody else? Her attitude was this, Lord, if you need me, I'm there for you. Whatever you have said, let it be to me according to your word. If you have called me to some purpose, then listen, I'm going to be there and I'm going to submit to it. I'm going to bear up under it and I'm going to do it. What an attitude. Again, the wisdom of the mother of Jesus. I think we can begin to see why God chose this young lady to be the mother of Jesus. Whatever he says, do it. And Lord, whatever you want of me, if it's your will, count me in. I'm good for it. And submitting to God isn't always easy, but it is always right. And she understood that. And you know, I know that we look at it from the standpoint of believers, and this was such an honor to be bestowed upon her that she would be blessed among all women to bear the Son of God and to bring him into the world. But what did the unbelievers think? The skeptics. I know what her own fiance or husband-to-be thought. He was minded to put her away, to be done with her. How many other people must have thought she was not pure? She had been unfaithful. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, Jesus tells the disciples how to pray. And one of those things was, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do you suppose the will of God is done in heaven? Does anybody argue with it, do you think? Wait, Lord, I heard you, but, you might want to consider. Do you think that happens? Do you think the angels argue with the Lord when he wants something done? Or if there's some kind of, you know, providential work that God wants done, he sends angels to do it, to enact it. Do you think they say, I'm not sure about that, Lord. You might rethink this because do you think that's what happens? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I don't think anyone argues with the Lord in heaven. He's supreme. He's sovereign. And he needs to be sovereign in our life. Mary demonstrated that. Lord, I may not want this for myself, but if you want me to fulfill this role, count me in. I've spoken at a number of baccalaureate services through the years, and you look at all these high school people, and they're all dressed up in their robes and gowns and caps, and they have so many plans. They have so many dreams. And one of the sad realities of that is in that number of people, those hundreds of young people that are lined up and sitting there listening to you, with all their hopes and dreams, and some of them they'll never experience anything close to what they thought life would hold for them. They may be injured. They may suffer loss in some way or another. Their health may deteriorate. They may not live. But I dream that I would find this person and I'd go to college and I'd be happy ever after. And all those aren't always reality. What happens if your dreams get shattered? Will you still let God use you? If your life is less than what you imagined it to be, will you have the resolve that Mary had to say, God, that's not what I thought, and this is not where I thought I'd be or dreamed I'd be, but it's where I am, and use me. Count me in. I'll do whatever you need me to do. That's the kind of resolve we should have. And then here's the third point that I see from Mary, and it's from Luke chapter 1 as well, beginning in verse 46 and going all the way through those next 10 verses through 56. And it's this: Mary demonstrates that God is worthy of worship. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to spend time getting to know. You know what? This is amazing to me because it tells me something about the character of this mother of Jesus. You know, when God tells her, when this angel tells her, you're going to bring the Son of God into this world, she immediately rattles off five or six passages from Habakkuk and several passages from the book of Psalms. She knew the scriptures. How many of you, if I said something, could say, oh, that triggers, you know, that passage from Habakkuk and that passage from Psalm and that passage from, could you do that? Are you that acquainted with the Word of God that when something is brought up that you can just immediately quote scripture that applies to the situation? You know, there are some of us who are Andy Griffith fans, and we watch shows and we memorize lines and so forth, and things will happen in life and when in real life, and when they do, you can quote one line of the show that, and if a person knows the show, they know exactly what you mean. Are we able to do that with the Bible? You know, something happens and, oh, it reminds me of Psalm 138. Well, that's what Mary did. When Mary learned of what she was to be done, called to do, she immediately started quoting scripture and rattles off about 10 verses worth of scripture. Do we know the Word of God like that? You need to know. We need to know the Bible in order to train and to teach our children. It's a difficult proposition to teach your children the Word of God. Especially because they're children and their understanding is not necessarily what ours is. I remember a friend of mine was talking, I think it was last year, he said that he was having a devotional with his wife and his children, and they were talking about heaven, and his little girl interrupted their study and said, Daddy, will you and Mama be married in heaven? And, of course, the Bible says there's no marriage or given in marriage in heaven. And so he's trying to think about how to explain that and to make it make sense and not worry her. And he said, well, you know, we're going to be happy in heaven. And actually, we're not going to sustain the same relationship. We're not going to be married. There won't be any marriage in heaven. And the little brother wanted to pipe in and chime in and tell his sister something. And he said, yeah, don't you know that? Marriage is going to be in the other place. You know, talking about, well, I don't know about that. But sometimes it's hard to teach your children and to get these difficult concepts into their minds. But the way we do that and to get a head start in doing that, We put the Word of God in our minds first. You know, we should be so full of Scripture that it comes out of us. It's there at the proverbial cuff to meet our needs as those needs approach us in life. Mary seemed to be that kind of girl. She was a young lady, And she had a command of Scripture. It was right there, and it was appropriately used. And then here's the fourth and final point that I'll make in this lesson, and it is this. Luke chapter 2, verse 19. When Mary was told about all the things that were, you know, going to take place, the things that the shepherds said that they had heard and all this, it says in verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the point is this, Mary meditated, pondered the Word of God. She didn't, it just wasn't in one ear and out the other. She heard what those shepherds said and how that the angel had appeared to them and told them good tidings of a Savior being born. And she heard that and she kept it and she pondered it and she thought about it. And you know what happens when we hear something and we don't just let it go in one ear and out the other, but we hear it and we think about it and we mull it over in our minds and we constantly refer to it. You know what happens? We gain insight. We gain understanding. The psalmist said in Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, who doesn't stand in the path of sinners, nor sits in the heart of the scornful or in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates all the day. The psalmist also said in Psalm 49 and verse 3, the meditation of my heart shall give me understanding. Can you not imagine how overwhelmed Mary must have been with all of this coming? She's never known a man, and yet here she is with child. And an angel comes and speaks to her. An angel speaks to some shepherds that come. And she's just taken all of this in. Her life has been turned upside down. And she's thinking, pondering the things that she has heard. And the responsibility that she would someday have in raising the Son of God. I think from those four tidbits of Mary's life, we can learn a lot. And it's not just things that mothers should put in practice, but it's things that we should all put in practice. You know, I know there are a lot of things said about Mary that you can't open your Bible and read. And it's a shame that those things are taught as though they're factual. They're fictional. And there's not a whole lot said about Mary. But what is said about Mary is substantive. This woman said, do whatever my son tells you to do. I know of no better advice to give anybody. Do what Jesus says to do. If you do that, you'll be all right. Be willing to accept God's will for your life. Your life may not be what you always dreamed it would be, but can you just be what God needs you to be? And be content with that. Mary was. God is worthy of our praise. Get to know Him. Learn His Scriptures. Listen to what He has to say. Get to know the revelation of Himself to us. And commit it to your heart and to your memory so that it's, like I said, right at the proverbial cuff and you'll have it in times when you need it. And then ponder on it. Think about it. Let Him and His Word be your meditation all the day. And as you do that, you'll gain understanding and wisdom. Mary must have been a godly woman for God to have selected her to bring His Son into this world. You need to be, we all need to be, godly people. Follow in her footsteps. Learn from what we do know about her, how to live. Because there's much to learn from her, though little is said. For those of you who are mothers and who have followed the advice and the wisdom and lived and walked in the wisdom of Mary, we owe a debt of gratitude to you. Your children owe a debt of gratitude to you. But this isn't just a Mother's Day lesson. This is a lesson for all of us. All of us need to do these things that Mary did. And not only if we do that, will we help ourselves go to heaven, but we'll probably help someone else to go with us. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, why don't you obey the gospel? Listen, why don't you listen to the wise counsel of the mother of Jesus? Whatever my son tells you to do, do it. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you haven't done that, do that this morning. If you're a child of God already but unfaithful, Jesus told us that we're to repent and pray for forgiveness. If you haven't done that, do it. He said it. Follow his lead. If you need to respond, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.